what is possible for their eyes. Continue this evening with the use of number 188. Let's remain seated as we sing this.
Confused by the grace that's so
your spiritual needs and also on behalf of our brother as he stands to speak to us. Brother Jay.
I'm very much humbled by the experience of having to preach. Maybe unlike some of my brothers, I really would rather, I prefer some of the other aspects of the ministry besides standing up here. Tonight, I'm not sure exactly what I'm going to talk about. I have some notes here. I like to quote a scripture from the 24th chapter of Matthew. The 35th verse. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. You know, it's kind of a, it's just one verse, but it's the verse there that applies to what is on my mind tonight. You know, there's an expression in the Book of Mormon. I'm not sure if it's in the Bible, because I can't remember, but I know it's in the Book of Mormon in several places. And it's called the Way of All the Earth. I paused this week upon several occasions to think about that, about the way of all the earth. You know, we spend a lot of time on our physical needs in this life. We spend a lot of time on the physical needs of others. We spend a lot of time on our bodies, I suppose, I could put it that way. We wash them, we comb them, and we blow dry them, and we paint them, and we do any number of things to them, and sometimes abuse them. But I wonder tonight if we might pause and think about how much we do for our spiritual body and how much of our time we spend on our spiritual body. And do we wash it, and do we groom it, and do we trim it? Do we feed it? Do we give it a proper diet? Do we exercise it? The way of all the earth is to pass away. Men and animals and trees, and the homes that we live in, that some of you have put so much time into, the way of all the earth is for that home to pass away. And even the rocks will pass away. The rocks that we think in the mountains that are so everlasting, they will pass away. I'd like to read a verse of scripture from 2 Nephi. First chapter, 28th verse, it says, "Awake and arise from the dust and hear the words of a trembling parent." These are the words of Lehi, not too long before he passed on, "whose limbs ye must soon lay down in the cold and silent grave, from whence no traveler can return. A few more days, and I go the way of all the earth. But behold, the Lord hath redeemed my soul from hell. I have beheld his glory, and I am encircled about eternally in the arms of his love." This tender parent that wrote these things to his children and to his descendants and to us and to all the earth telling us of something that he had learned in his lifetime. The way of all the earth, you know, we spend countless hours at work. We spend countless hours doing so many things. And everything changes, you know, everything changes. I noticed down at work, my job has changed, and the management has changed, and people have been fired, and our brother Houghton talks about change that he hates to see come, and how he hates change, but that's the way of all the earth, you know, it's change and decay and a recycling. I'd like to read you another verse of Scripture. From the 13th chapter of Hebrews, the 8th verse. Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday and today and forever. The Mormon recorded for us somewhat similar. In the 4th chapter. I can find that now. The 68th verse of the 4th chapter of the Book of Mormon, page 710, reads this way. For do we not read that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and in Him there is no variableness, neither shadow of changing? You know, I find great comfort in that. Thinking about that and pondering upon that as I think about how things change. And as I ponder, you know, we have a great responsibility in the Church of Christ to be instruments in His hand to the carrying of this gospel in all the world. And men have lived and women have lived and died, I suppose maybe for the last 150 years since the restoration of this gospel. And they have been looking forward to the spreading of this gospel in all the world. And they have lived and they have died and they have not seen it to a great extent. But you know, it is written, and I like to quote that and read that right now in the 4th chapter of John, the words of Christ. The 4th chapter. Maybe I'll read the 21st verse. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship Him. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. You know, we cannot do Him and make Him happy. We cannot do ourselves any good if our worship is on the outside, if we do not have a spiritual experience with our Lord, if we don't worship Him in spirit. You know, that's something I suppose that many of, that we lay, as members of the Church of Christ and members of this restoration of the gospel, we lay hold on the fact that we can worship God in spirit more so than anyone else. Not that God doesn't bless other people, and not that other people don't worship Him in spirit and that they aren't good, but we lay hold on that fact that we can draw closer to Him because we have a more complete truth. But I'd like to ask you if you are closer today than you were yesterday, if you are closer today than you were last year, if you have come closer to Him, if you have gone on the same path that He has, if you are more humble today than you were yesterday, if you're more willing to submit to His will today than you were yesterday. The Book of Mormon tells us that this is the day of our probation. And for us not to procrastinate the day of our probation, and to serve Him while it's yet called today. You know, if we cannot find a way, the way has been written, if we cannot find a way that we can more fully worship Him, if we can more fully be able to spread this gospel, if we can't find a way in which we can show forth the glory of God through our own lives, then we fall very short, and we are probably like those five foolish virgins. If we cannot, through our own personal lives and testimony, if people cannot feel by knowing us, if they cannot feel something, not us, but if they can't feel something through us, then we have failed to that extent. There's another verse of Scripture here in Matthew, and he tells us, get the right chapter. Sixth chapter, 24th verse says, "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." Are we going to be able to carry the burden and the cross that we have to bear today? Are we going to be able to, you know, the work of the gospel mounts up from day to day. Every day we read, we hear from our brothers and sisters new burdens. Are we going to be able to stand up to the burdens that are coming upon us from every side? You know, the only way that we can is if we do worship God in the Spirit. Because we're not going to be able to even keep our sanity. We're not going to be able to, or not our sanity, I'll say, but we're not going to be able to keep ourselves spotless from this world unless we do worship Him in spirit. "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than the meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you, that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which is today and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall He not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, What shall ye eat? Or what shall ye drink? Or wherewith shall ye be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, and your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." You know, we had a president not too long ago. He said, "Ask not what the country can do for you, but ask what you can do for the country." And I do believe that this is somewhat similar to what Christ is trying to tell us when He says, "Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness." Not because He's going to supply our needs, but because it's something that's going to give us strength. It's something that's going to supply us with our needs. I'd like to go back to John and read another part of that same chapter. That was the fourth chapter. Beginning with the 31st verse, it says, "In the meanwhile, His disciples prayed Him, saying, Master, eat. But He said unto them, I have meat that ye eat, to eat that ye know not of." What was that meat that He had to eat that we don't know of, or that they didn't know of at the time? You know, they hadn't really heard too much about the Holy Ghost yet. about the Spirit. And yet, you know, we get tired today. I get tired. I get tired from the burden of all that I have to do in life, of the things that I have to accomplish, my church responsibilities and my responsibilities to my family, my responsibilities at work, and I get tired. And I know you do too. I know you get tired. But Christ, you know, there were many times, and he had no place to go and sleep because people followed him everywhere. Multitudes of people followed him and they wouldn't let him sleep. And I know you, we want a greater portion of God's Spirit in our lives. We want a greater portion of it so that we can be happier, so that we can see God's will fulfilled in the world and in this gospel. And yet how are we going to be able to fulfill it if we can't take care of what we have right now? I have meat to eat that ye know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, hath any man brought him aught to eat? And Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. I do hope that you can understand the theme of what I'm trying to say tonight. You know, we're told, as I quoted, that everything is going to pass away. We're told that we have this life to make our choice. We're told that we have the time is measured only to man. And we're told that in this time we have to repent. And we're told that his people will spread the gospel. His people will witness to those that are around them. You know, we might spend maybe a lot of time discussing doctrine and things, but we do need very much to come to an understanding of how we can grow in this gospel. I'd like to read another scripture now from Isaiah, the 28th chapter. And Isaiah was here through prophecy and through vision that was given to him, through wisdom that was given to him. He was telling us how God's going to teach his people. And here in the 9th verse, the 28th chapter, he says, whom shall he teach knowledge? And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast, for precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little. Now, you know, I wonder what exactly he was trying to tell us. I don't wonder. I believe that I know. But he was asking this question, and he was trying to reason with us, and he's going to say, who is he going to teach doctrine and gospel? Who is he going to teach this knowledge that we're going to have? He's going to teach it to those people who are no longer, I believe, now you may disagree with me, but I believe that the Scriptures will back me up. He's going to teach it to the people who are no longer struggling with a lot of the same, let's say, basic human temptations that we all have. And that he's going to teach the people who are drawn away from the things, and they, not that we don't have any need to repent anymore, because we always have a need to repent, we always have a need to come closer to him, but he's going to teach the people doctrine and knowledge and give them understanding to the people who are not babes, let's say, in the gospel, people who have begun to grow, people who will do as it says here, again, a precept upon a precept, and here a little, there a little, a line here and a line there, because we don't get it all at once, and it doesn't come to our understanding all at once, but as time goes along. I'd like to read now another scripture here in 2 Nephi. In the 6th chapter, beginning begins this way. In the 99th verse, it says, "Come, my brethren, every one that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore, do not spend money for that which is of no worth, nor your labor for that which cannot satisfy. Hearken diligently unto me, and remember the words which I have spoken, and come unto the Holy One of Israel, and feast upon that which perisheth not, neither can be corrupted, and let your soul delight in fatness." But the gist of what I am saying tonight is that we need, time is so precious to us. It is precious to me. Time is so precious, and we all grow old, and we all go the way of all the earth in one way or another. And some would argue that and say, well, we may not die because Christ may come back before we die, but that means we have less time then. We have less time than maybe others would have. We have less time to gain the strength that we need while it's still daytime for us. We have less time to put aside the world, to put aside enough of the world that we can gain a hold of this gospel, that we can see for, if you have not seen for yourself, for the power that can be had by doing this. You know, we believe that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and the change in time is only measured to man. Change only happens to man because God never changes. And so we believe and we tell people, if God spoke to Moses, he'll speak to us. If God moved in the Old Testament and caused fire to come out of heaven, he'll do it today. We believe he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I'd like to read you here, if I can find it now. Let's see, there it is. It's in Alma, the 10th chapter, about a group of men. I believe the man that said this was Amulek. And they were watching and witnessing the burning of some of their brethren, women and children. And they were watching and witnessing the burning of some of their brethren, women and children, because they believed in Christ, because they were righteous and they wouldn't back off from that particular belief. Well, here we read about men, Alma and Amulek. In the 48th verse would be a good place to start. And it says, "When Amulek saw the pains of the women and children who were consuming in the fire, he was also pained. And he said unto Alma, how can we witness this awful scene? Therefore, let us stretch forth our hands and exercise the power of God which is in us, and save them from the flames. But Alma said unto him, the Spirit constraineth me that I must not stretch forth mine hand, for behold, the Lord receiveth them up unto himself into glory." Now, you know, I read this to show the righteousness of these men and the power that they had, that they could have stopped that, and there was no one that could have stopped them because they had the power to do it, but the Spirit led them otherwise. And they were so righteous that the Spirit would do this, and that power was not misused. But you know, if you're going to be able to, you know, we believe that that the Indians again will someday receive the gospel, and that it's time now. We believe it's time now to do it, to try and take the Indians the gospel, the Indians, the Mexicans, the people of that descent and that origin. And you know, there was an article in Reader's Digest this last month. And in there was an article about the number of people coming across the border from Mexico into this land. And the guy there was acting like maybe it was going to be a problem. I suppose maybe it's going to be a problem because I guess it just might be a problem, but because of jobs and this and that and the other. Except, he said there are 1 million people coming across that border, legally and illegally, coming across that border every year. And that's at a rate of, if you want to figure it out mathematically, I think about between 2,000 and 3,000 a day. 2,000 or 3,000 people a day coming across that border. And if we, the Church of Christ, perhaps there, we don't know, I don't know, if we could find one man, one family, it's hard to say exactly how far-reaching it could be, but it's something that we can pray about, because this man, Alma and Amulek, these two men, before they were found going out preaching this gospel, they were busy fasting and praying and learning and searching the scriptures to come to that place of righteousness. And not only that, they did something else. They did something else. They prayed about the welfare of the brethren, their Lamanites, the Lamanites. And they prayed about them. And they had a desire to take the gospel to them. And so I wonder now, I don't wonder, I really believe it. You know, I know God has timetables, and certain things will happen at certain times when God sees fit. But in every age that ever was, upon the face of the earth, in all the scriptures that we ever had, when men had desire, men and women had desire to carry the gospel, the way was made open to them. And when they went out, putting themselves in God's hands, the way was made open to them. And this is, I suppose, maybe the gist of all that I'm saying tonight, is that we have to be spiritually prepared for that, and time is running out. Time is running out for you. Time is running out for me. And I'm not old by any means. And many of you are not old by any means. But I guess that really isn't the point, because it doesn't make any difference if you're old or not. Time is running out, and we don't know how much time we have until maybe... Now, I'm not saying he wouldn't use us. I'm saying maybe he won't use you. Maybe he will not use you because you don't have this spirit in you, the mount of this spirit, that you don't worship God in spirit. You don't have his power, that you haven't cleansed your life. You know, we heard, I guess it was last Sunday night, I think it was, when Ken preached. I don't remember exactly, was it? But he said, he made a statement, and I hope you all listened. I hope you heard it. It was kind of he made it quickly, but he said, we're not here for any game. It's no game that we're here. We're not here to play. And you know, if we're going to be like Christ, then we're going to be concerned about the salvation of those around us. If we're going to extend our concern beyond ourselves. And Christ viewed the world around him and he wept. And Lehi, when he viewed his children, he wept. And I believe Nephi, when he was getting old, he said, my eyes water my pillow by night for you. There's got to be some sort of, in your life, you have to get involved spiritually with the things that God has set in order for us to do. Let's see. I'd like to read maybe another scripture from Moroni in the 7th chapter. Beginning with the 5th verse, it says, "For behold, God hath said, a man being evil cannot do that which is good. For if he offereth a gift or prayeth unto God, except he shall do it with real intent, it profiteth him nothing. For behold, it is not counted unto him for righteousness. For behold, if a man being evil giveth a gift, he doeth it grudgingly. Wherefore, if it is counted unto him the same as if he had retained the gift, wherefore, he is counted evil before God. And likewise also is it counted evil unto a man if he shall pray and not with real intent of heart. Yea, and it profiteth him nothing, for God receiveth none such. Wherefore, a man being evil cannot do that which is good, neither will he give a good gift." You know, we pray. I have prayed. I would have to admit, I have prayed without real intent. You know, you kind of sometimes get into a habit of doing that, and you have to watch yourself. You have to pray, and I would ask you, and I would invite you to pray about the work of this gospel in these last days, and to pray about this conference that is coming up, because it can have, one way or the other, it can have far-reaching effects upon you, because it's going to be a very important one. It's one in which you are going to have to pray with real intent for those men and women who go there, that they might be able to take the Spirit with them, that this work might be done. They might be able to take with them a spirit of cooperation. I'd like to read now a couple of other scriptures. One of them is in Alma, the 19th chapter. The 105th verse is, "But God ceases not to be God, and mercy claimeth the penitent. And mercy cometh because of the atonement. And the atonement bringeth to pass the resurrection of the dead. And the resurrection of the dead bringeth back men into the presence of God. And thus they are restored into his presence, to be judged according to their works, according to the law and justice. For behold, justice exerciseth all his demands, and also mercy exerciseth all which is her own. And thus none but the truly penitent are saved." Penitent. Now that's a word that, if I understand it rightly, after looking in the dictionary and asking somebody, it's a word that means repentant. To be repentant in your heart with real intent. You know, you have to have real intent. The whole gospel, you have to have real intent in what you do and what you say, in the words that you pray. When you read the gospel, when you read these things, you have to do it with real intent, or you will gain nothing from it, and God will not bless you. You know, I'd like to read another thing about a person who was real and had real intent and was penitent. And I think perhaps I'll close with this. This is an hour of the 15th chapter. And this is what we can have if we will have it. Fifteenth chapter, the 16th verse, I believe. "And it came to pass that as Ammon was going forth into the land, that he and his brethren met Alma over in the place of which has been spoken. And behold, this was a joyful meeting." A joyful meeting. Now, men, particularly men in this world, they think perhaps that emotions are something that you hide. But here is a man. Now, these men faced death. Ammon faced death, and Alma faced death, and they weren't afraid of it. And they weren't afraid of it in one whit. But here it says, "And now the joy of Ammon was so great, even that he was full, yea, he was swallowed up in the joy of his God, even to the exhausting of his strength, and he fell again to the earth. Now was not this exceeding joy? Behold, this is joy which none receiveth, save it be the truly penitent and humble seeker of happiness." The way of all the earth. The way of all the earth is just to pass away as far as the things in the earth, because it is written, heaven and earth will pass away, man will pass away. If it were not for the resurrection, which we have a great privilege to take part in, and we have an opportunity to take part in it with happiness, if we will be penitent, if we will be intent in our endeavor to serve him, if we will be like the five wise virgins who had oil in their lamps, which was the Spirit and righteousness, they had something to show for their labors. We need something to show for your labors. You need to be able to sit back, let's say to think maybe when you go to bed at night, that you tried on this day. I tried. Now, maybe I failed, but I tried, and I genuinely tried to do my best for that day. And it's something you have to do. I had other scriptures here, but I chose not to read them. And one of them, it tells us we have to pray in the morning and pray at night and pray always, continually, without ceasing. I began thinking about the way of all the earth when I went up to see Hubert. And when I went up there, I bore testimony here this last week of the spirit that I felt in the room. And spirit of peace, you know. There was sadness, but there was peace. And it's something that you don't get and does not come unless you can give yourself over to God spiritually. And I cannot stress enough that our time, that your time, is growing short because you don't know how long you live. As I was talking to our young people last night, I asked Joel how long he was going to live, and he couldn't tell me. And nobody could really tell me because they don't know, and you don't know. And righteous men died in times past. They were killed, and righteous men died, and passed on, and we don't have a claim on this physical body. We're chained to it while we're here. We're chained to this physical body, and you can't get out of it. You have it. You've got it, and you can't get away from it. You're going to be hungry probably tomorrow morning when you get up. You're going to be tired before you go to bed tonight. You're chained to it, and you're chained to this world. And Christ said that in this world we'll have trouble. We'll have trouble. But to be not afraid, for I've overcome the world.
Thank you, Jay. 195. Let's stand and rejoice together, please. heads once again. Our kind, gracious Father, we thank you for the love of Jesus Christ in our lives. We pray, Lord, that you'll help us to be more receptive to that love. We pray for a greater understanding, for a greater knowledge of the gospel. We pray, O Lord, that it shall have a greater impact in our lives, that it shall influence us and direct us, and that you'll have cause, Lord, that we shall grow closer to thee. And we pray, Lord, indeed, that we shall make better use of the time that you've allotted to us, that we shall make every minute count in thee, that we shall strive to serve thee, that we shall strive, Lord, to grow in hope and in faith and in charity. We pray, Lord, for thy church in its entirety, that you'll help us as a people to understand our responsibilities individually and collectively as a church, and that you'll guide us, and that you'll move upon us, that you'll give us strength and determination, Lord, not only to seek thy will, but once we find out, to follow after it, to lay hold upon this responsibility that you've given to us. And we pray, O God, that in all things we shall glorify you, that we shall have cause to praise you and to thank you for the blessings that we receive. We pray, Lord, that you'll bless the sick and the afflicted, that you'll touch them, that you'll lift them up, and that thy healing spirit shall be near unto them. And we pray once again for our brother Hubert, O Lord, and for Patsy and for the Yates family, that thy spirit shall continue to bless, to uplift, to strengthen, to heal, and to touch each heart. And, O Lord, we pray that each one of us might be an encouraging help one to another, that we shall uplift each other, that we shall be a strength and a source of determination for each other. We pray, Lord, for the apostles, that you'll guide them and direct them as they soon will be meeting together to deliberate on things which are important in thy kingdom. We pray, Lord, that you'll meet with them, that you'll guide them, and that you'll be with them in power. And, O Lord, we pray that thy will shall be done at the conference time, that you'll bless each one who has a desire to meet there, that we shall indeed meet together, Lord, in a desire to serve one another, to serve you with the best of the ability that we have and that ability that comes through the workings of the Spirit. Help us, Lord, we pray, to hunger and thirst after righteousness and to do all things to please you and to glorify you. And so, Lord, we're thankful for this time which we've had this evening to listen. We pray, O Lord, that that message shall bear within our hearts, that you'll guide us, that we shall apply these things to each of ourselves. For we ask these blessings in Jesus' name. Amen.